Good morning, Murray.
Hi, Nick. Yeah, I suppose we should look at South Australia first because I'm in the birth state of my lovely wife. I lived down there for 3 years and it's the land that time forgot, as we know. it's a beautiful place to live. Beautiful place to live. But the other day it made headlines around the world for all the wrong. It made world headlines. The whole state was blacked out. 1.7 million people, almost 1 million customers. That includes businesses and homes. And it was a perfect combination of events. I mean, you had that, it was a huge superstorm cell. 22 of those high-tension pylons were simply ripped out of the ground and thrown aside like pencils. Bang, gone. So all those lines down. And you had at the same time 80,000 lightning strikes, some of which actually belted into power stations.
80,000 lightning strikes. I did not hear that stat
And
before.
So what happened? The main north-south power line that brings in power from elsewhere in Australia, that was knocked out. Now, what's supposed to happen is what they call an interconnector, and that then automatically a switch is thrown that will bring power in from Victoria, from WA,
wherever
from New South Wales.
Needs to come from.
That's right. Sadly, the system is built in with a shutdown mechanism. If it can detect danger to critical infrastructure, it says, no, sorry, we're not doing it now. And that's what happened. So the whole state gone, blacked out. Now, for there were some super critical safety issues. I mean, there was there were people in operating theatres. There were people stuck in elevators. There was one hospital at the backup generator failed. So you're talking super critical infrastructure failure that put people's lives at risk. Never mind the roads. I mean, there wasn't a single traffic light in all of South Australia.
God.
Now I know there's only seven cars down there, but still. So you've got this perfect combination of events that knocked the joint out, and they had more bad weather last night. Yesterday afternoon, they had all but 25,000 homes back on, but last night, more heavy rain, more gale force winds, and so on. So it's going to be a long and expensive cleanup process. But you throw into the mix all this superheated talk, and you and I were laughing at this before, it didn't take them long to start spinning renewable energy.
You and I have said this before, there is no tragedy so big that a politician won't try and make hay out of it.
Correct.
It's nothing.
And the whole renewable energy thing, because DME, South Australia's Labor government, is shock horror, has had the ambitious target, let's try and get to 40% renewable energy to supply our state by 2020. Apparently it's horrendously over-ambitious. Had nothing to do. The fact that they have a lot of wind and a lot of solar, none of which can be used when a storm's raging, well, duh. And now, I mean, Malcolm Turnbull gave them a kicking. Josh Frydenberg gave them a kicking. You know, you have to be realistic. Well, guess what? We're aiming here, and maybe if we fall short, fine, but the states are aiming at 40% in South Australia's case. What's wrong with an ambitious target?
Nothing at all.
It had nothing to do with renewables, what happened on Wednesday.
Not a single thing. And like anyone who says it does should be strapping on a tin foil hat. I mean, it's complete idiocy. Complete idiocy.
Well, it is. That's right. So, you know, Josh Frydenberg's the energy minister. And look, clearly he has a responsibility here. The states have to generate their own power, but the federal government he's organising a meeting with his state and federal counterparts. They're going to look at renewable energy targets, the reliability. And as far as Frydenberg's concerned, it's not about ideology. It's about energy security, not energy ideology. So the Greens say we have to go harder at reducing emissions because guess what? The Greens say the storm was caused by global warming.
Now, well, that'll be an interesting one to see if anyone wants to come on board and talk about that. But yeah.
So South Australia is still cleaning up, and we've had bad weather here in New South Wales, of course, and there's more bad weather on the way also for Victoria. The other story that's doing the rounds this morning that I was laughing at, and I know, I'm sure you were too, Wyatt Roy.
G.I. Roy.
G.I. Wyatt
Roy,
Action, that's right.
Wyatt.
The youngest man when he was elected in 2010 since 1918, elected to the Australian Federal Parliament. He was 20. The previous young chap was 22 when he was elected back in 1918. Now, Wyatt Roy, for reasons apparently best known to himself, he was visiting a mate who's apparently in northern Iraq, just happened to be with the Peshmerga guerrillas who were fighting Islamic State. Wyatt Roy just happened to have a few selfies there that he supplied to SBS, and here he is, the G.I. Joe of Australian politics. He is cushioned with the $100,000 payout he got when he did lose his seat at the last election, and he does have that rather generous two-term parliamentary pension waiting for him when he turns 65. But please, Wyatt, don't put yourself in danger. And apparently he did get in danger.
He
was out there on the front line, and these pesky Islamic State guerrillas, about 15 of them, decided to have a firefight. So It lasted half an hour. They called in an airstrike, and apparently five of the Islamic State, the bad guys, were killed. And the commander said, "Mr. Roy, here's the car, there's the town, go like buggery." And he did. He just straight back to town with his small group. He says nothing wrong. He says, "I'm entitled to be here." But Richard Miles this morning says, "It's not a Kon-Tiki tour, son." It's not a tourist destination, says Christopher Pine. You've got Penny Wong also giving him a slap, a gentle touch. He says, "Look, you're just living out some childhood cowboy fantasy." I just love the fact he supplied all the vision to SBS.
He did. He sent all his own photos. He's done every interview he can about it. He's got his nice little big boy beard happening.
What's with the beard?
Well, it looks like you've got to have a beard if you're going to Iraq.
If he'd been in South Australia on Wednesday night, it would have been blown off his chin. All gone.
Now, what I want to know, though, is that for any other Australian travelling to Iraq, when they come back, they'd probably get questioned like nobody's business.
Yeah, that's
what
true.
Were you doing there? He's been exactly... Do you think he's going to float back through customs?
Of course,
or do you think
he will.
He's going to be locked into a quiet room to have a bit of a chat?
I did see somewhere only half an hour ago or so that apparently the area that he went to is not considered off limits.
Now,
I'm not sure why. There's some parts what are more off limits than others.
Well, yeah, apparently it's completely illegal to travel into Mosul, according to smarttraveller.gov.au.
According to smart people, too. I mean, let's not go to Mosul, for goodness sake. And look what's happening in Aleppo. I mean, if you want to end the week on just utter inhumanity. I mean, there have been 320 kids been killed there in the last week since the airstrikes resumed after that shaky ceasefire collapsed. And guess what? Russia's given the finger to the United States. We are going to be continuing to support our Syrian allies, and if you want to stop the slaughter of civilians, you tell those pesky rebels to stop hiding amongst civilian populations. Yeah, okay, we'll get right on that.
Yeah, look, between that and MH17 and the way Russia's reacting to that, I mean, we bring up a new Cold War, are we?
Well, look, that whole MH17 thing too, I was quite surprised, I don't know about you, but at the very, very strong language from our current Prime Minister and the former one, Tony Abbott. Didn't miss Putin, and nor did Malcolm Turnbull.
Yeah,
so let's wait and see what happens. Enjoy the long weekend, mate.
Mate, you too. Thank you very much, Murray. Oh.